Jesus is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It's a little gloomy and gray outside. I just want us all to be reminded of the joy that we have come to celebrate in our worship today as we continue our season of Easter. It is our sixth Sunday. There's one more coming yet, and so we continue to celebrate the goodness of God's love in the resurrection of Jesus our Lord. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're with us. If you're with us online, it is good for us to be together, to add our voices to all those that give thanks and praise to God. There are handles in my vision, so there are Sunday school bags. So if there are children here or there will be children coming, please make sure they get a Sunday school bag. Next Sunday, May 29, we're going to be celebrating and recognizing our high school graduates from here at St. John's. We will be recognizing them at both 8:30 and 10:30 in worship, and I hope that you will be able to join us next weekend as we celebrate their accomplishments and with them look forward to their future filled with so much hope and potential. June 5th, we're going to be welcoming new members, and I hope that you'll be able to join us for that celebration. Coming this summer will be a six-week Bible study on prayer, and so I hope that you will keep your ears open and discover when that will begin, but we will be doing a six-week study on prayer this summer. And then I'm also going to let you know that I received a call from a member of the congregation. She needs to leave her current place and move into a new place, but doesn't have a lot of family around. And so, if you are someone who has a few moments, or who has a pickup truck, who has experience in moving, or would really love to learn how to move someone, please let me know. We have someone in our midst who is in need of some help. I don't have a date yet, but as soon as I have that date, it will be floating around. So please pray about that. Consider that. Be part of that if you are able. We've gathered to be in worship. So let us continue our service today by joining together in our opening or gathering song, Song of Hope. Let us rise and sing together.
You are in my darkest night. You brighten.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from the 16th chapter of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 21st and 22nd chapters of Revelation. And in the Spirit, being one of the angels, carried me away to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. The gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruits, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light or of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be of their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. And you loved me. You would rejoice that I am going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of our Lord. Jesus is risen. And may the presence of our risen Lord be with us this day and always. Amen. Fear. It's something that all of us deal with somehow and sometime in our lives. Fear is something that we are regularly sold by 24-hour-a-day news channels. It slides in with posts about anniversaries and graduations and birthdays on our social media. There are even moments in our lives when sometimes we'll read a scary story or a scary book or go watch a scary movie so that we can feel a little bit more in control of our fear. Fear is a part of our lives. And yet in the middle of today's gospel story, Jesus says to us all, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Jesus joins with angels and even the voice of God telling us to fear not. Now those words, fear not, or at least that sentiment, appears more than 350 times throughout all of Scripture. And while we may have to deal with fear in our lives, God in His love for us wants it to be way down on the list of things that we have to deal with any given day. And so today, Jesus does add his voice to those who are asking us to let go of our fear. But Jesus doesn't only say, do not be afraid. He gives us reasons that we can let go of that fear. He gives us a rationale to not be afraid. And he gives help for us to let go of that fear and walk into God's future with hope. And so in today's gospel, we're back in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples after their last meal together has ended. Jesus is talking, teaching, praying for the disciples. He's also playing with their memories. See, that's why the church has chosen these readings for after Easter. They're encouraging us to see what is happening, to hear what Jesus is teaching, but they want us to see it and hear it all in the light of the resurrection, all in the light of the truth that Jesus is risen. John, the gospel writer, has told us that all of these stories have been written for us to come to believe. Jesus has been trying to leave clues for the disciples, clues for us as well, to aid us in our lives as we follow a resurrected Lord. So there, in the upper room, is Jesus talking about God's love, talking about his imminent suffering and death. And then Jesus promises the disciples the Holy Spirit, an advocate and friend for their life and for our lives. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us and remind us of Jesus' instruction and love. You see, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God with all of us, each of us, daily and intimately. It is through the presence of the Holy Spirit that God guides us, directs us, calls us to follow, gathers us into community, enlightens us into how we can live, and sanctifies our lives and help us live holy. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And an advocate was and still is a defender. Actually, in Greek, it is the defense attorney. It's someone who stands up for us. But it's also someone who holds us close with comfort. And this advocate, this one who holds us close, this is the promise that helps us begin to understand Jesus' call to not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time, every day. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit encouraging us, aiding us, giving us hope, we can walk into life's difficult moments. We can walk into the dark corners of our world without fear. Concern can still be prudent, but fear traps us. And God's presence and perfect love casts out fear. And in this morning's gospel, Jesus also promises something else. And this other thing that Jesus promises to the disciples and to all of us is peace. Not as the world gives, But this is the peace of Christ. This is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. This peace is not merely a lull between violence like the world would sell to us. This peace is not temporary. This peace has no strings attached. This peace that Jesus promises us is forever, is free, and is complete. It is wholeness, shalom, and most importantly, it is a way for us to see the big picture of God's love for all creation. This peace from Jesus gives us both the opportunity and the strength to look beyond the brokenness and violence of this world and see the kingdom of God all around us. You see, for Jesus, the brokenness of the world is not the sum total of reality. Instead, Jesus brings God's presence, God's kingdom, God's love into our lives through this peace he promises. Jesus' peace is about building love, about creating community. It's about sharing God's glory and not merely about ending violence, no matter how important that is. But you see, into this call for us to set aside our fears, amidst the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the peace of Jesus with us always, there's also a confusion as to how is all of this supposed to work? What does this look like? How can we know these promises are real? And so I want to tell you a story as a metaphor for you. There's a father who was with his family at the shopping mall. Dad was taking care of the three-year-old son, and mom was taking care of the two other children. You see, his wife and two other children were all having a great time, but the three-year-old was not. No good time at all. Hence, Dad having to watch one while Mom watched two. Their three-year-old that night was ornery, noisy, misbehaving, running around and shouting one minute and then flopping dead weight the next. You've all seen it. You've experienced it. Any of you who are parents are sitting there going, I've made that trip. Here we are, right? And so, the father just picks up his three-year-old son. He doesn't scold him, but holds him and starts singing a silly little song. I love you, you like to eat beans. I love you, your shirt's still tucked in. I love you, your nose is silly. And so he just kept singing. You've got a cute smile, your toes are stinky, whatever it is. And as he sang mostly off key with words that none of them rhymed on purpose, but as he sang, his son stopped wiggling, stopped shouting, stopped wrestling. Everyone started to enjoy their time at the mall. And when they got to the car after the shopping was over, putting his son in his car seat, the three-year-old smiles and looks and says, "Sing it again, Dad." The Holy Spirit is God holding us close and singing to us in our fear, in our discomfort, in our joy, in our life. Now, it may not be a song about stinky toes or bald heads or skills at making toast, but it is the calming, comforting of presence, of the God's presence with all of us all the time. Now, I may not like being compared to a three-year-old, but if I'm honest, there are times, Stacy will encourage that, yes, there are indeed times. For all of us, the promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives with grace and comfort, making us smile as we realize God's love for us. And that brings peace. The promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives to guide us to better decisions, to help us care for our neighbors, to show us how we can let go of our selfishness and insensitivity. The promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives, holding us close, and giving us the promised peace that Jesus talks about today. Because of all of this, all of these promises, we can enter into this afternoon with hope. Because of all of this, we can look to tomorrow with hope. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us and the peace of Christ that fills our lives. These are the promises that Jesus made before he dies. And then these are the promises that are made all the more real in his resurrection. We can truly set aside our fears. And we need not acquire any new ones either. Our risen Lord is with us by means of the Holy Spirit to guide and to guard, to forgive, and to assist us, thus providing for us a peace that we need, providing a peace that this world around us needs so desperately. And so now we can go into the world and bring the peace of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit to everyone, wherever we go. We get to go into the world proclaiming the amazing truth that Jesus is risen. Amen. Please rise as we join together now in prayer. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. God of new life, open your church to the unexpected ways your Spirit is at work. Guide bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders in their visioning, partnership, and planning. Surround us with your peace. Lord, in your mercy, give a vision of increase and abundant harvest for farmers, laborers, and gardeners who are beginning their growing season. Join their efforts with the goodness of creation to feed all living things. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light of wisdom and peace among nations. When those in power seek to assert dominance over others, confound their ways and make them yield to your humble authority. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, we pray for the people of Ukraine caught up in the turmoil of violence and warfare. Protect, comfort, and support those working to restore peace and care for those in need. Turn hearts from fear, hatred, and violence to love, compassion, and reconciliation. Open lines of communication and provide care and relief to those who are wounded, that they may know healing, peace, and hope. Lord, in your mercy, give safe haven to those who seek healing, liberation, or peace. Create places filled with hospitality where hurting people find your loving presence and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Sharon, Fran, Carol, Tom, Brenda, Jack, and Gail. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy, uphold the work of ministries and organizations in our communities who assist people experiencing homelessness, citizens returning from prison, and all marginalized people. Accomplish your will through their efforts. Lord, in your mercy, assemble your people at rivers, streams, and fonts, where we remember our baptism and welcome others into the communion of saints. Gather us with those who have died when we meet together at your river of life. And we remember today especially the family and friends of Sandra Poling, the family and friends of Warren McCroskey, and the family and friends of Betsy Clark. Lord, in your mercy. In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant us to see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May your week be filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Their words cannot stand against us, for God is with us. God is with us.
With us, God is with us.